Hello and welcome to the show. This is More Speaks along with Ray on today's podcast. This is podcast number 10, episode 10. We will be talking about the best and worst movies, in our opinion. Ray's best and worst, and mine's my best and worst. And we'll recap a little bit about the Super Bowl that just happened this past weekend, and also the best and worst commercials that we saw. Typically, you know, commercials for Super Bowl, you know, as many millions that are, you know, dished out for commercials. Typically, your best commercials are done during this time. So let's get started. We will be going over the best and worst movies. Ray is with us today.
Hey, what's going down, H-Town and everyone around? It's your guy, Ray. Happy to be in the building. What's up, Morph?
What's going on? PSA with Ray is in the house.
About that time.
All right. So, I mean, this topic, I guess we held it back a few times because of Valentine's and a little football talk and Hall of Fame talk we had on the last podcast. So we're picking this up today. So this list was kind of hard because there's a lot of best movies. There's a lot of, you know, movies you, I wouldn't really say worse. I would just say, you know, not as good as, you know, typical movies that you would watch over and over. To me, the best movie would be a movie that you would watch, you know, over and over, even if it's in the middle, you know, you'd want to watch it. You'll sit down and watch it 10, 20 times. Doesn't matter how many times it comes on. You just, you know, you'll sit down and watch it. I know Ray feels the same way. We kind of had a conversation about this. And I mean, to talk about, you know, best movies, it's kind of tough because there's a bunch of movies. Then we kind of thought about maybe best movie and worst movie and like sequels and or, you know, trilogies or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call multiple movies, you know. Like Rush Hour, Friday, Hangover, Matrix, Karate Kid, the 50 million Fast and Furious movies, Rocky, Rambo. I mean, that's just a little bit of some of those. So I'll just talk about a movie and we'll just, you know, we'll just spit off some ideas between me and Ray if he's watched these movies because, you know, we both come from different eras. You may have not watched the movies I watch. So I'll start it off. My first best movie, and this is all around. I would say this movie is old as heck, but still relevant. I mean, it's still a good movie. You can watch it over and over. And it to me, it's Gladiator with Russell Crowe. So Gladiator premiered back in May of 2000. So we're already 22 years in, but you can watch it right now and it's still amongst the top movies. And it was basically a movie loosely based on what happened in this time period in the Roman Empire. The movie grossed about $187 million, between the US and Canada. $269 million in all other territories, totaling $457.6 million. And like I said, this is a movie I can watch over and over, no matter. I mean, I don't know the words. You know, some people I know the words. I know the parts, but there's always something. I see something new every time I watch it. So Ray, have you heard of Gladiator?
I sure have. I got the privilege of seeing Gladiator when I was like 9, 10 years old.
What did you think about the movie? Do you like it?
I love Gladiator, man. It's not one that I could just watch like randomly. I kind of have to be in that type of energy. But it is a movie that once you watch it, like once you start watching it, you got to watch it from beginning to end. And the emotions and the intensity is still real. It's still very like fresh, you know, like you can really feel the quality of acting there was amazing.
Yeah, I can watch it in the middle. It don't matter where it's at. I mean, sometimes I'll start over. I mean, I got the DVD. I think we ended up getting the Blu-ray. But I can watch it at any part. It don't matter to me. All right, so let's, Ray, what's your first best movie?
Are You Not Entertained? for me, I'm going to start it off for my goofballs. I want to say Step Brothers.
Okay.
Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Man, I could watch that at any time, at any day, at any mood. Like, if I'm angry, I could put it on and I'm still going to chuckle. You know what I mean? Like, those guys are a dynamic duo comedy. And Step Brothers, for me, has so much replay value. And I know the script, you know, and Catalina wine mixer. You know what I mean? Like, Step Brothers is one of those movies that's it just makes you feel good. I don't know.
I would say 90% of the movies that Will Ferrell makes, I can watch it. Like Elf, you can watch it. It doesn't have to be freaking Christmas. You can watch it like any time of the year. So I'd say, I mean, Step Brothers is another one. You know, you can watch it anytime in the middle. Doesn't even matter. You know, it's funny, especially the part when he goes plays the drums.
Don't put your nuts on my drum set.
Yeah. So yeah, that definitely is a pretty good movie.
Did we just become best friends?
Right.
You're supposed to say yup. Alley-oop, brother. You gotta slam it in.
Yeah.
Pause.
I just did a harden on you.
Pause.
I hogged it.
Pause. And some suspect said I hardened it, I hogged it. I'm like, pause.
No, I said like hardened it.
No, I'm saying pause, like pause. And you're like, okay, I paused it. What's okay, this is funny. I wish we were here to record, bro. Oh my god, bro. That was
it's recording.
Oh, that's epic. That's epic.
That's man. Ray right now.
That is very immature of me. Sorry, folks. But yes, pause on all those statements you made. But I definitely get it, man. What were we just talking about?
We just talked about your movie, so I'm going to go with my movie now, my second one. This is a pretty big one. This actually premiered back in 1977, which that's my year. No one knew that's my year. It's the year I was born. And it's Star Wars. If you look back, I did a lot of research on this. And I mean, it's so much. There's prequels, sequels, triquels. Everything you can find on this movie is out there. So if you're a Star Wars fanatic, I mean, I got into Star Wars many years ago, but I didn't really get into it till recently, you know, like when Episode One came back and, you know, it just brought everything back in to perspective. So Star Wars definitely, I mean, I can watch all of them. And I'm not even going to say and sit here and lie. I get lost on some of these movies because, you know, like I was saying earlier, there's prequels, there's sequels, you know, or, you know, stuff that happened early on. And you look at the movies that you watch, of course, the ones, you know, from 1977 on, you know, you look at them and then you're like, well, how is these prequels? They look so good compared to the original. you know, and then how Lucas Films went back and remastered, you know, the way some of the flying objects look. You know, you, if you look at the original and some of the, you know, redone mastering, the remastering that they did, it looks way better. Doesn't look like a floating bicycle at one point, or, you know, where they edited it. So Star Wars premiered, like I said earlier, in 1977, which led to, at that time, 11 total films. 11 total films. And if you didn't know, one is in the works right now, soon to come out. I think they already have the trailer out. 16 TV shows, a bunch of comics, novels, video games that were put out by LucasArts, also by EA. And not to leave out all the public attractions. So there's like 12 different attractions totaling. I mean, this, you know, this is like a lot of money that this company brings. I mean, now it's owned by Disney, but it totals like $70 billion. I mean, and if you think about it, there's all kinds of cartoons. You know, now they got, you know, on Apple Plus, they got The Mandalorian, Boba Fett. You know, that's just more spinoffs to, I mean, they can do spinoffs on pretty much every character. Every character, you know, they can do spinoffs. Skywalker, you know, the Wookiees, you know, pretty much everything. Every person, you know, whether, you know, they're the main character or secondary characters. You know, they can possibly do a ton of them, and they'll still continue to make money, you know, because it's a big industry. So, Ray, were you into Star Wars?
So, yeah, actually, I really hate to admit this to the listeners and the viewers, but the first Star Wars movie I ever got a chance to see was the one that came out in, I think it was, what, 2000, 2001, The Revenge of the Phantom Menace with Darth Maul in it. So that really wasn't even part of the original core of Star Wars. And the thing for me was, I feel like Star Wars has always came in waves, and the wave that Star Wars was in when I was a child was like, people hated Jar Jar Binks, you know, people hated Darth Maul. People hated the narrative. They hated the movie. So as a kid, it's like you want to get into it, but then everyone around you is talking down on it. So it's kind of hard to like something when you're a kid and everybody's talking down. But now I feel like Star Wars has become such a staple of American film industry and Hollywood and just all around the world, to where it's more accepting and welcoming. And, you know, they've introduced all these new characters, and they got a Baby Yoda now. I don't know his real name. I know it's not Baby Yoda, but that's what I call him.
That's what they call him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he had a certain name, but you know, I don't got time for all that, but who did Yoda sleep with to have another kid? I need answers. You know, like, where's this female Yoda we've never seen? Did the Force just birth a Baby Yoda? I don't understand. I don't got time. You know, like, it's too, you know. And then the biggest critique I have on Star Wars is it's hard to go back and watch the original and, you know, put yourself in that context of seeing it for the first time and experiencing what in the 80s was the future, you know, because the quality is different. The acting is different. The narratives are scripted in such a way to where you had to be kind of mature to understand everything that was playing out in front of you. When they started making movies in the 2000s moving forward, the characters have been a lot more memorable and the graphics are improved. And so it's really hard to go back and fall in love with that base when the new is just, it just looks better. It just feels better. It feels right. I don't know.
Well, if I understand the context of Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda is actually Baby Yoda before Yoda, because Boba Fett and Mandalorian is before. I mean, if I'm getting this right, because I mean, I watched The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. This is way before all of that, before, you know, the Republic and all that was big, because it's Darth Vader's just, I think he just, you know, came to play with all this. I mean, I may be getting it wrong, but Baby Yoda is actually Yoda. It's just he doesn't have, you know, all the, you know, the strength and the training yet. So, I mean, I may be wrong. If you know more, you know, hit us up on our Instagram. Remember, More Speaks on Instagram, or hit us up on our website, www.morespeaks.com. Twitter, More Speaks. Facebook, More Speaks. Anywhere you want, More Speaks. And also be sure to follow us on all the media platforms, as well as, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, all of those. We're all in there, every single one, pretty much. So be sure to follow us, leave us a comment, drop us a like, all of that. All right, so Ray, you were saying that Star Wars, you didn't really watch it.
Now, for the record, I just want to tell everybody, I'm not knocking Star Wars. Like, Star Wars goes hard. Like, everything, every film that I have seen, I really follow intensely. Like, I think it's a great series. But once Lucasfilm sold it out to Disney, I lost all interest at that point. Like, it really was nothing personal. It was just like, nah, once Disney touches it, it's over.
Well, I mean, I mean, I'm with you. I know that once Disney gets a hold of it, it's going to be a brand and marketing thing. They're going to, you know, do all these additional episodes and prequels and sequels. But I mean, I kind of like it, because if you think about it, back in, you know, when Star Wars first started, you saw the characters, but you didn't know who they were, you know? So that's why they're going back and showing you, hey, this is how Skywalker, this is how, you know, Boba Fett, you know, came to be, you know, the hunter, the bounty hunter, you know, and then, you know, Yoda, you know, who else? Anakin, how Anakin became, who is it? He became Darth Vader.
When he killed them kids and stuff.
Yeah, Darth Maul and all of them. I mean, to me, Darth Maul was, between Darth Maul and Darth Sidious, they were like the, you know, two characters that, you know, I think they need their own, you know, from start to beginning. And I say even Darth Vader. They need to make a Darth Vader from beginning to end, because you have to know all the parts to know how Darth Vader came to be. And, you know, everybody says, Luke, I am your father. But guess what? They should show like the whole thing, you know, how it started, you know, because, you know, you see the progression, but, you know, they don't really show everything. So I'm assuming that's why Disney decided to, and I don't think Lucas, you know, wanted to do much on it. You know, he was pretty much done. That's why he sold all his rights. He took his money and ran. He knew what he was doing.
Hey, Morph, can I throw a monkey wrench in here real quick?
Go ahead, Ray.
Have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
The Mandela effect? No. If I have, I may have heard it, but no. Go ahead. What's the Mandela effect?
So
I think you said something about it the other day.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but that'd be funny. The Mandela effect in pretty much is a theory that there's like a collective memory that everyone remembers, like an event that happened but never happened. Okay. So for example, the typical the most like popular Mandela effect like examples would be like the Berenstain Bears. They're, you know them as the Berenstain Bears, right? But okay, they're actually called the Berenstain Bears. So what I'm saying, like with Darth Vader, right now you said, Luke, I am your father. Everyone remembers that, but that's actually not what Darth Vader said to Luke.
So what did he say?
I think it says, let me see real quick. It says, no, I am your father. But everyone remembers that as saying, Luke, I am your father. So the Mandela effect pretty much is saying everybody remembers the same thing, but that's not actually what happened. So I just wanted to throw that in there just to plant a little seed in everybody's mind of like your memory can play tricks on you. But technically, Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father.
We're gonna have to go back and listen to it.
We're gonna have to take Darth Vader to Maury and confirm paternity, because he never said I am your father. I mean, he did. He just didn't say Luke. He said no. But yeah, there you go. Do your thing, Morph.
Okay. All right. So back to the topic. After the Mandela effect. That was a little nugget by Ray. Some people didn't say they liked any nuggets by us, but we brought the nuggets back.
It's a 50 nuggets, piece.
There you go. And we're going to talk about 50 piece pretty soon on the Super Bowl side. All right. So, like I said, there was a lot of good movies, but we kind of kept it simple because we knew we had to talk about some other things. Also, talk about the Super Bowl, since that just happened. So we had like two good ones and then a bad one. Bad one not being that bad. I mean, something that you thought was like either stupid funny or just stupid at, you know, for a certain reason. So my opinion, and it's crazy because I just watched this the other day and I saw how horrible it was. Was Daredevil. So Daredevil, if you don't know, I didn't even look at what year it was made because it was so corny. It's part of, you know, Marvel. I believe it's Marvel, right? It's Marvel. Yeah, I think it's Marvel, which Marvel is supposed to be really good. Everybody who plays in Marvel movies tend to, you know, make a lot of money, make sequels on the next parts, but the special effects on this, I don't know, in my opinion, to be, when it came out, the year it came out, should have been better. To me, it was trash. A little bit fake. And I'll tell you one scene that to me was fake, which this actually made a spinoff of another movie, which was Elektra. So if you remember Elektra, you know, that was the spinoff from that one. Which to me, Elektra was a little better, not much better, but it was decent. But in one of the parts after she finds out that Ben Affleck, you know, he didn't murder her dad, but he got murdered because of, you know, his weapon. Well, she goes home, you know, her dad's a millionaire. And she goes home and goes to the mansion and starts to train. And she's training with her little, what's the name of those swords? Sabers?
The sabers or katanas.
Katanas, yeah, that's what it were. So she starts to train with those because she's been training since she was young. And in this movie, Ben Affleck didn't know that he, you know, his weapon killed the father because he's supposedly blind. All he sees is shadows when he's Daredevil. Well, she's training, and during her training, she's in a big freaking like dining room or living room, and there's like sandbags just falling from the air with ropes. You know, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, who the hell is throwing the sandbags if she's in there by herself training? You know, there's no freaking way that they just fall and she's like just chopping at them. You know, it was just dumb, you know, instead of, you know, just having the bags there, just sitting there, they're just like falling from the air. It just, I don't know, it just seems stupid to me. Now, the great thing about that movie, if you guys don't know, is one of the, to me, you know, one of the best soundtracks around. If you knew about that soundtrack, it had Evanescence, which was the song Bring Me Back to Life, which they had like 50 million different remixes of it. But I mean, it's great. It was one of the, to me, one of the best songs, you know, of that time. And I still like the song, the original and the remixes, some of those. So let's talk about some of the numbers on this one. So like I said, it was a horrible movie, but I'm assuming because it was a Marvel movie, it made a little bit more money, or it made money. So it made $179 million total. And then they were looking into doing the sequel to it. But Ben Affleck, being the a-hole, he said that he did not want to wear tights. That tights or leotards, whatever the heck they were, spandex, were demasculating, you know, which is kind of weird that he said that. So they canceled the sequel, which they probably were going to cancel anyway, because it wasn't going to make that much money. You know, film studio is not going to do a movie or something if it's, you know, not going to make any money. But the funny thing is, he said he wasn't going to do that. Then, you know, a few years later, he did Batman versus Superman, which, of course, he was freaking wearing tights. Now, instead of wearing red spandex, he's wearing black spandex, which this brings up another point. To me, he's the worst Batman ever. I mean, let's bring back the old guys. You know, I mean, that's just my opinion, and some of the opinions that I've heard from other folks. You know, I didn't really look up the numbers on that, but to me, he's the worst Batman. Ray, what's your input on that?
Yeah, so Daredevil came out in 2003. So again, I was like in middle school when it came out, and at that time, I didn't watch, like, you know, social media wasn't around and stuff like that. So it was a lot of word of mouth, or, you know, you would watch the box office numbers and see like what they put up. And Daredevil broke all the numbers in February when it was released. Like, it broke records. Like, it was like the second most grossing film in February of all time at the time. But, you know, what's the first thing that kids do when they watch a movie? They go back to school and tell everybody if it was great or if it was whack. And so I fell in that category of, I heard it was whack and I never watched it. And I mean, to be fair, I'm not into the whole Marvel DC universes. I understand. I get it. But I was, you know, life is real. I got other things and I don't got time to get into every character and follow every character's life. Like, to me, if it's not Spider-Man or Batman,
bruh,
or Wolverine, like, and I know that those are in two different universes, but Spider-Man, Batman, and Wolverine, those are my three favorite characters. Everybody else, I could care less. So, you know.
Actually, you said it wrong. It's Wolverine.
There you go.
Wolverine. That's how you used to say it.
That's the Dominican in you, huh?
No, that's how my kids used to say it. They used to try to say Wolverine in Spanish, so they just said Wolverine.
That sounds about right. That's the funny part. But yeah, I just, you know, Ben Affleck has that reputation of, like, I don't know, like, I want to like Ben Affleck, but it's hard to defend the dude. You know, he makes a lot of mistakes and
a lot of dumb movies. I would say, out of most of his movies, the best one that I can probably watch over and over even though you know it ends up sorry, is Four Brothers.
Four Brothers is great. You're tripping. Nah, Four Brothers is a good movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's good, but Four Brothers is it's not something I can watch over and over because you know what happens. You know,
I can. That shit is great. Four Brothers is dope because you got Mark Wahlberg. Was Ben Affleck in that movie? That was Mark Wahlberg, bro.
No, he was in it.
Okay. Well, either way, Four Brothers is dope. But the only Ben Affleck movie I like is The Town, which I can't.
Maybe watch. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, The Town. That's
The Town.
The Town.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because Four Brothers is Mark Wahlberg. I'm like, wait, nah, chirping.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg and Andre 3000. That's right.
There you go. And Tyrese. And what's her name? Sofia Vergara's in that movie. Finance.
Who was? What is it? What's his name? Arrow? Wasn't he in that movie?
Man, I'm trying to remember who were the, because it was the one brother. I forget the little white kid. I forget the other white brother's name. But yeah, Terrence. Wasn't it Terrence Howard was in that movie? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But Four Brothers is dope. That's a very
Mark Wahlberg, movie. Tyrese Gibson, Andre. Garrett, who's that? Garrett Hedlund. Yeah, I was definitely thinking of the.
That's the brother.
Pretty much, they in every.
Oh, Boston movie. What's his name? No, what's his name? Big Boy's in that movie, right?
I don't remember.
I'm saying Andre 3000's in the movie, but I think Big Boy was in it too. But I could be wrong. Yeah, because he owed him money. He owed the drug runner or whoever money. He had took out the loan from the mom's home, the mortgage on the mom, and I think it was Big Boy. That's dope. But I think you're talking about The Town, and I agree with you on The Town. It's like I could watch it.
Yeah, it was definitely Ben Affleck. Jeremy Renner. That's what I was going to say.
There you go. When they was in Boston, they had, it was a real Boston movie.
Yeah. He tends to do a lot of Boston movies. And then, you know, Jeremy Renner, now he's a country singer.
Nice. Hey, that's hey. You got to pivot sometimes. Shout out to him.
All right. So, let's go with your bad movie or your worst movie or the movie you dislike the most. However you want to say it.
You know what? I'm going to talk about a series that I really disliked, but I recently.
Do I need to do PSA with Ray?
Let's do PSA with Ray, damn it.
All right. The man, the myth, the legend, PSA with Ray.
Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, my brother. So I want to talk about Fast and the Furious.
Oh, hell.
And so check this out, right? And I think God does things in such a way to where they play out the way they need to. Because
you know I'm going to disagree with you, right?
I know.
Okay, go ahead. So that's why I'm glad you saved this.
So I know everybody's going to get mad at me, but the first movie I ever saw from, Fast and the Furious was actually Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Trash.
So I actually really enjoyed Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift because it was the first one I had ever seen. And it had, you know, Bow Wow and, you know, I forget all the other different characters, but, you know.
It was non-factor people.
Because the main character, I forget his name right now, but the main white boy that had just moved or whatever, he ended up becoming a relatively known actor after that. You know, he did some pretty good films later on. So it's like that was one of his jump off films, you know, where like people first saw him. But even then, just seeing them drift, seeing the type of cars, seeing the storylines, the difference in culture between American culture and Japanese culture, or the way they portray it anyway, was really dope, you know. But I never got into Fast and the Furious because I felt like, okay, how many movies about cars can you possibly watch over and over and over? And then how, like, you know, how are you going to possibly change the plot line every time? So I never gave Fast and the Furious the chance that it deserved. But when you and I started talking about, you know, potentially doing one of these episodes discussing movies, you know, I don't need much of an excuse nowadays to sit down and you know, binge watch a series. So, you know, we pretty much sat down and we start watching Fast and the Furious from, you know, movie one and making our way down. And wow, I can totally see why everybody in the Fast and the Furious world hates Tokyo Drift so much in relation to the series, because it had nothing to do with the series at all.
It didn't.
But it's just funny to me because it was the first one I saw. And just, you know, I think that if you can watch a random film out of a series, any series, and you like it, you know what I'm saying? It should be a pretty good series, because like Tokyo Drift was like the third film in the series, fourth film in the series. I think it was the third, you know, and it's random. It could have been Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious. That could have been my first one, you know, and that was dope, man. You know, going back and watching them again, Paul Walker, seeing Tyrese, Ludacris, you know, just seeing everybody's growth, Eva Mendez, like it was so cool. Fast and the Furious was dope, and I can't even imagine liking it at the time when it was popping. Because if I would have liked it when it was popping, oh man, I would have been street racing, I would have been customizing my cars, like I would have gone all out with it. So you know, luckily for me, I skipped that phase. But Fast and Furious is hella dope, hella dope.
All right, so let me go ahead and disagree with you. I think the best thing that came out of Tokyo Drift was the character Sung, who was Han Lee, who, you know, later on became, you know, big actor and was in all the movies. I think the acting that Bow Wow did was, I mean, his name was Twinkle in that movie. So that let you know how sucky it was. And then the main character, who was Sean Boswell, real name Lucas Black. Really, the movie everybody knows him from is Legion. So he was the blonde head dude in Legion.
I remember him from...
It all be over soon.
I remember him from Jarhead. Like, he really made an impression on me on Jarhead. It was like a movie based out of... Jamie Foxx is in it, I think. No, I'm tripping. That's The Kingdom. Okay, well, anyway. No, he was in Jarhead for sure, though. That's where I remember him from. But to go back to the Fast and the Furious, like, man, I was so wrong. Like, there's just so much that goes on. And I think that, you know, it jumped off a whole bunch of stuff. Because if you remember when Fast and the Furious came out, they had, you know, Need for Speed was really popping, like on the video game and stuff. And I think PlayStation 2 was out. So Need for Speed Underground came out. And you could start customizing the cars. And like, it was all at one time, you know. And then in Houston in particular, we have the slab culture here. So cars were always a thing here, but it was different, completely different styles. You know, one is big, flashy, and bulky. And the other one is like, you know, as light and as cool and as sleek as you can make it. So two different worlds, man. But now as a grown man, I'm like, yeah, Fast and the Furious is super dope. But I thought it was whack growing up because, you know, it's just cars, but it's dope.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point, how many movies can you make about cars? I mean, what they did was they threw in big actors and did a few spin-offs, but we all know it's fake. You know, three Chargers pulling a big old safe, you know, through the cities of Mexico, or was it Los Angeles or something, you know, and then, you know, Tyrese breaking into it. But that was a movie within movies that led to many people. I mean, reggaeton stars were starting to be in it. The Rock, you know, once you put The Rock and Jason Statham, you know, into these movies, you know, you're going to make money. And then, you know, with Paul Walker passing away, you know, and then his brother going in, you can't even tell the difference, you know, unless, you know, on a behind the scenes type look, you know, you can see, but the way he looks in the movie, you know, it looks real. And then, you know, Vin Diesel, you know, the movie took a total spin. You're right. You know, it went from racing to pulling off heist, you know, in the beginning. Yeah, it was heist, but it was totally different heist. You know, it was, you know, stealing car parts and reselling them. And, you know, for them, you know, so they can win, you know, the all out racing, you know, what was it, a battle in the desert or some crap like that, you know. But the movie, the storyline was a great storyline, because, you know, Paul Walker, you know, was with what was her name?
I think it was in Eva Mendes, right?
No, he was with Olive Oil.
Oh, nah, man. So going back and watching it, I'm like,
you're talking about the Spanish girl. She was with Vin Diesel. That's what the heck is her name?
But I was like, man, my guy Paul Walker's a snitch, man. Like the dude was undercover. I was so hurt. I was like, oh, how you gonna turn on my dog Vin Diesel like that, man? And then Too Fast, Too Furious comes out, and he redeems himself and is like, all right, nah, like I stopped working for the LAPD and now I do this. And I'm just like, man, let that happen now. Like, that would not fly at all. But that was cool. Like, the great storyline, the way it was written and everything. But like I said, as the years go by and you start, then I didn't understand the Vin Diesel and Rock beef. Like, at first I thought it was just marketing. Like, I thought it was just them trying to, you know, cause some type of, you know, controversy to get numbers before a movie comes out, you know. And the next thing you know, they have a full-fledged beef. And it's like, what are y'all possibly, you know, what are y'all beefing about that's so bad? Because everybody in that crew is like a family. So, like, I feel like, you know, even now as a new fan, I think that when Paul Walker dies, that kind of should have been the end of the series. You know, that's just my personal opinion. I know it can keep going. I know that they can do a lot of things with it, but that should have been it, man. Because he was the start. He was the original, like, you gotta.
Well, he was the original star, but that's why they brought the movie around other folks and kind of looped them in. And then the whole Rock and Vin Diesel beef was because the Rock was the police officer who basically the storyline turned around and went back, you know, 360. No, because
I'm talking about Walker, them beefing in real life, like the Rock and Vin Diesel.
Oh, I didn't really.
That's why they're not really filming that much, and because The Rock and Vin Diesel don't get along on set at all. Like it's on site pretty much, like with them two. If they see each other, they're going at it on site. So I don't understand that beef, you know?
I thought that it wasn't filming because Tyrese kept crying.
They taking away my baby. I mean, that was a messed up situation. You know what I mean? I don't know what Tyrese be going through, man, but mental health.
Didn't they bring in?
And his name is John C.
Hey. Mr. Can't See Me.
Now, he just did a dumb movie. What's that? Not a movie, but a series. What is it called? The Invaluables or some crap like that. And he's like, I don't know. It's weird. I can't even remember what it's called, but I think it's on Disney Plus. I think it may be funny because some of the characters, but it's almost like like a fake superhero type deal. I think it's like Captain Underpants. I don't know. It's some crap like that.
John Cena to me is like a great value Mark Wahlberg. Like, I feel like they don't, like, whatever movie or series, they don't have the budget to pay Mark Wahlberg, so they just hire John Cena, you know? Like, I know they're completely different actors and stuff, but it's just, like, really, like, I'm not taking John Cena seriously in a movie like that.
I want to say anything that has to do with WWE is basically going to be garbage. You can watch them, but, you know, any movie that WWE gets his hand in, of course they're gonna put a wrestler in there, and you won't know he's a wrestler, you know, if he's not one of the known people. But there's a bunch of movies that, you know, WWE has put his hand in, and of course, you know, some are okay. They're gonna make their money back. Probably not gonna do like great, you know. That's like making Expendables Part 4 or something.
You know what? Can I change my vote from Fast and the Furious to WWE? I think the WWE is terrible. I said it. It's terrible. And all you folks that still sit here and watch WrestleMania and all these events that go down with WWE, y'all are whack. Y'all are corny. Y'all need to grow up. Okay? Wrestling died after...
And his name is John Cena!
That's perfect.
I'm going to say this.
Once the Undertaker retired, that was it. I'm like, that's it. That's it. Enough. The Undertaker's done. I'm done.
I mean, you know what I mean? Undertaker was like 70 when he retired.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's just like you got to cut it off at some point. Like, why is WWE? I mean, I know why. I mean, they got enough. They generate so much money. You know, they're always
going to
be relevant.
They still generate money. No,
they're always going to be relevant. But it's just like, damn, bro.
As we grow in age, they grow in watchers, because they're going to keep bringing relevant characters that kids are going to want to see. Just put it that way. You know, it's not the old school wrestling as before.
Man, but I see a lot of grown folks that legit will die on the cross saying they will die for wrestling. Like, they love the WWE. They follow all these events, the pay-per-view stuff. Like, these people are really invested. Like these SmackDown and Raw and all these, they got real supporters, like a real community. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm criticizing grown folks. I'm not criticizing children and teenagers. That's cool.
But so I gotta disagree. Many years ago, I won tickets to WrestleMania. And I actually got to see The Undertaker. This is how long ago it was. And, yeah, looking at it on TV, you feel that way. But being in the stadium, it's like freaking electric. You know, it's like people say, oh, I hate watching baseball. Many people say that. But you go to the game, it's like it's fun. You know, any sports – I think the only one to me that baseball, you know, they kind of tell you what's going on and you hear it. I don't know, football games, being at the football stadium, I don't know, you don't hear nothing, and then, you know, the crowd roars, you know, and you know, you can see it unless you like have some pretty good seats, you know, some of the live games. But to me, baseball, man, it's like nonstop. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of action, because if you don't know baseball, you don't know the pitches, you don't know how hard it is to hit. You know, same as football. It's like they keep running the same damn play over and over, you know, and then they're like, 67 is eligible for receiving, you know, and you know, all that stuff. And, I mean, it is to each his own. But, I mean, I know grown folks right now that follow WrestleMania, go to SummerSlam or whatever the hell it's called now, you know, and it's big to them. They still do it. They do it as a crew. Like, I know a crew of four or five folks that they do it all the time, and that's what they do, and they're down for it. And like I said, when I went, you know, I took my kids, you know, but my youngest man, I mean, that time he was my youngest, he loved it. So, I mean, I'm with you with what you're saying, but like I said, wrestling to us is going to be irrelevant now because of the wrestlers that we were used to watching are not there. Now you see these somersault type dudes and jumping off ropes and let's make it dangerous and put these fake ladders and you know, spikes and all this other stuff. So it's going to be irrelevant to us because we don't want to see it that dangerous. We know as many people as died, you know, what is it? The British Bulldog, he died. Anvil, what was it? Anvil Neidhart? No. Was it Anvil Neidhart? No, he's alive. It was the other one. And then you got the Spanish dude.
Rey Mysterio killed somebody on accident.
Yeah, but the Spanish dude that died, you know, jumping from high up. What's his name?
Oh, mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I just read about him the other day.
I mean, everybody knows Superbad. You know what I'm saying? It was a moment. Anything, Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, you know, I follow those guys. Like, it went from Adam Sandler to them, you know? Like, for me, in the comedic world, I'm really into comedy movies. I'm not so much into, like, horror or scary stuff. The worst series, I would say, is Final Destination. Like, I think that's whack. Like, Final Destination or whatever, that's whack. Wackest that series one, of all time.
That one and Scream.
Or Purge. Like, if you want to throw
No, Purge is good. I mean,
Purge,
I,
like, the Purge 1, Purge 2, like, they good. But I'm saying, like, now they're starting to play it out. Like, they're starting to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Where everything's the same, and they just have to add a little bit extra. And
this generation don't know when to, like, let something go. You know, that like that's why we always talking about, oh, like, dude, do you know that they're doing a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot right now? Like, it's on, I think, HBO Max or something? Like,
yeah, I mean, that was part of, I think that was one of the commercials that they showed. I mean, and it's, Will Smith is, I mean, probably like the executive producer or something. I mean, it seems all right. It's the same plot, new people. Everybody's like young as hell. People that you probably never seen unless you see like certain shows with them in it. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch it.
They need to let it go. Unless Will Smith was like Uncle Phil and then they bring in a kid that's like really, really popular.
Uncle Phil is like a young dude. It's, and they brought Jazzy Jeff back and it's, I don't know. I don't like
that's
it,
what I'm but. Saying. This look, and I'm not gonna. I don't want to sound like the old guy here, but I feel like this generation. I'm talking about like Gen Z. I ain't talking about millennials. I ain't talking about Gen X. None of that. Gen Z in particular, like they want to sit here and tell society what's cool and what's corny, and all this, right? But they just keep doing everything that we've been doing the whole time. They got Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just like we did. They keep doing all these Marvel things over and over. Disney bought out Star Wars. So this generation just pretty much throws rocks up saying y'all are corny for wearing this or for doing your hairstyle like that. But then they keep recycling everything we've been doing and making it, like trying to call it their own. Like, you know, like there's this video of this white girl on TikTok, I guess, and she's showing people this style of music, right? Where they, I guess they slow and reverb the music, right? But we all know that as screw, right? Chopped and screwed music, right? Well, you know, that's screw. But she's on TikTok, like, telling the world, like, yo, like, y'all gotta check out this guy. He's the originator of this sound and da-da-da-da-da. I just feel like they're recycling our whole experience and then telling us that we're whack for going through the experience, but they're doing the exact same thing. That's just my rant on Gen Z. That's the end of PSA with Ray.
It's everything comes around no matter what. Like bell bottoms, you know, in our era came back around again. Everything's going to come back around. Every evolution of fashion, music is going to come back around. Everybody's going to bite off someone else's music. It's going to come back around.
But what original, like, that's what upsets me is what original content are these people creating that, like, you know what I'm saying? When's the last time you seen a classic? When's the last time you went to the movie theater or anywhere and you just saw a classic? You're like, like, you know, like a new movie, and you're like, this one I'm going to watch 10 years from now. I can't remember the last time that happened.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. Our era compared to the era now, everything's fast-paced. Now, I know we said this before. Everything is fast-paced. Everything is out in social media. If you break up with somebody back in the day, you know, you would write a card to them or something. Now it's, let me post it to social media. Such and such this. We broke up. We're not together. You hear about everything right then and there. You know, oh, I'm going to Twitter rant this and this and this and that. Nothing is safe anymore. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is, you know, a secret for long. You know, somebody breaks up, you're going to find out. A bomb happens somewhere, you're going to find out. You know, you can't really be original when everything you do right now gets put out and somebody can copy it within seconds and do the same thing. There's people that take your video and loop it or take your video and post it as theirs or do the same thing you're doing. Everybody's doing the same thing. You know, we can be doing a podcast, somebody listens to it, and they're going to do the same podcast and probably just, you know, edit it, you know, and make it their own. It's everything is the way social media now is, the way everything's now, it's fair game pretty much. Lyrics you said 20 years ago or when you were 21, let's put it that way, are basically going to be used again, and you're going to say, just like Snoop Dogg said, and this is a big thing. You know, Snoop Dogg, you know, did that one of the roasts, and he said, hey, you remember that lyric? He was talking to Ludacris. If you're a pimp and you don't love them hoes, you know, or whatever, something to that effect. He's like, man, that was a pretty cool rhyme. He's like, but you know who said that first? Me. You bit off of me. You know, so it's funny because, you know, they're not in the same era. You know, they're pretty good rappers, but, you know, Snoop Dogg said it, you know, 10, 15 years before that, you know, on his Doggy Style album. So everything's going to be recycled no matter what.
It's just, what they're going to do, just make what, they're going to have their own version of Titanic? You know, they already redid Space Jam. I mean, you got to respect the sanctity of certain things. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Justin Bieber doing a soul song. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, bro. Like, what are you doing? Like, Justin Bieber singing an R. Kelly song. I don't want to hear that. You know, like, don't do that. Wow. So be original in the sense of, like, you know, yeah, like, it's okay to be inspired by other stuff. But, like, when you're a generation and you're literally just reliving another generation's life your own way, that's whack. You have no original thought. You have no creativity. Not you, like, you know, the general public. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to come up with your own stuff and think outside the box. Because now everybody just put everything into the big gumbo pot. And it's all, you know, you got guys that listen to hip-hop, watch Naruto, and drive a Honda Civic. I mean, it makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are everything now. It's not like...
I told you, John.
Groups. There used to be...
Every genre is for everybody now. There is no, this is my genre or anything like that. All right, so that was the best and worst. So let's talk a little bit about... Let's change it up to football.
Bruh.
So football this weekend, that just happened. I'll be honest with you, my opinion, the game was okay. You know, it was constant scoring. You know, there you have some Super Bowls where it's nothing but, you know, too much defense and you know, a bunch of field goals. This one seemed okay. It went down to the last minute. You know, LA won. Bengals could have took it. Could have. They were close. Joe Burrow's, you know, he had an opportunity, but they couldn't, you know, couldn't stop L.A. L.A., you know, came back, you know, Stafford did his thing. Besides the, you know, the football, you know, is the commercial. So I'll let Ray talk about a little bit of football since he's the sports guy on this on his channel. I thought I was, but he is.
I have not claimed that title, but if you're bestowing it upon me, I will gracefully accept it. Thank you, Morph.
Right.
So, hey, hold up. Turn up. Hey. So, as the sports guy on this episode,
supposedly,
on this podcast, you know, this was a legacy game. And not so, you know, if Joe Burrow wins the game, you know, it's not that it's a surprise. It's just more of like he won it early. Like he's the next Pat Mahomes type quarterback. But the fact that Matthew Stafford and the Rams, there were so many players on the Rams that needed this title to really validate their careers. Majorly Matthew Stafford. You know, coming over from Detroit, being the number one overall draft pick.
On the Lions for so many losing years.
And the thing is, for so many years, you know, there was the niche of people that were defending him saying, well, if he wasn't on the Lions, he would be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. And so this was that moment. He finally had his chance. He finally won his first playoff game in his career. He finally went to the Super Bowl and he won it. You know, now, did I think the Rams deserved a win? Man, I think that the Bengals played a hell of a game. And the reason I say that is it's not because I'm hating on the Rams. It's just more like the Bengals have a terrible offensive line. And to guard Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and, you know, everybody else that they got on that line that is just dangerous. You know, Joe Burrow already had a major injury his rookie year last year. You know, it was a very intense game, and I feel like the Bengals were so close. But, you know, major congrats are in store and are long overdue for the Rams and for Matt Stafford and for that entire organization.
They definitely had a horrible O-line because Burrow's got sacked, what, like 7 or 8 times? The most in
Super Bowl
history?
And that's my point is, you know, to almost win that game despite that, you know, that speaks volumes about that kid and his composure to play in that game and stay in it that close against that team with that star-studded team. You know, kudos to OBJ. He finally redeemed himself because everyone thought his career died in New York. Once he went to Cleveland, he was irrelevant. And I was in that category. I was like, you know what, man? I'm sick of OBJ. Like, how can you play with Eli and do great, but then you can't play with Baker? And now he's Matthew Stafford, and I'm like, oh, damn. Like, I think OBJ winning the Super Bowl just condemns Baker Mayfield for the Cleveland Browns. Like,
it's he went out in the first quarter, got hurt.
But that's OBJ. Like, he does what you need him to do because without OBJ, they don't make it to the Super Bowl. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. They needed him. And
yeah, he was basically the bait that allowed Cooper Kupp to get more receptions. I noticed that because once OBJ was out, Cooper Kupp was still getting passes, but it wasn't like as much as when OBJ was in there or even during the playoffs. It was the same thing. You know, OBJ was either he was getting the ball or he was going to act like he was getting the ball, and Cooper Kupp will go ahead and get those first downs on third and, you know, whatever they had.
So the Rams had like a three-headed – they were supposed to be a three-headed monster because they were going to have Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and OBJ. But when Robert Woods goes down, you know, before the playoffs – even before the first game, they all got a chance to play together. That put a lot of pressure on OBJ. And he was still kind of recovering from some lingering injuries, and he kept re-aggravating himself and stuff like that. But when you take out OBJ from the equation and you got the Rams offense, you're basically forcing Matthew Stafford to throw the ball, you know, because they're not going to run the ball three times. They're not.
They really didn't have a running back, really.
Well, because Cam Akers just came back. He wasn't even supposed to play this year.
the dude forced himself to come back and play just to make this playoff run. He's a great running back and stuff. He just got injured. He tore his ACL or whatever. But and then Sony Michel, who got traded from the Patriots to the Rams, he was really good pickup for them. He did really well. But overall, just they needed Matthew Stafford to get him over that hump. Because if Jared Goff was still the quarterback of the Rams, they don't win that game at all. No. Not even close. The Bengals would have won it in a landslide. So, you know, again, shout out to the Rams because they gave up the house for Matthew Stafford, even though he's older, you know, he's a little older now. But first year he got the chance, and they did it. This was a win-it-all season for the Rams. If they would have made it to the Super Bowl and lost, it would have all been for nothing. Like, they might as well, you know. So yep. They did what they were supposed to do, and they won it at home, too. Let's not skip that fact. Yeah. And I think it's a little suspect that the last Super Bowl was in Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay won, and this one's in L.A., and L.A. won. I'm starting to – I don't know, man. It's a little too coincidental for me.
Yeah, I heard somebody talking about that. They said if the next Super Bowl is held wherever the next people win, then they know it's something the NFL is doing on purpose.
Remember when Katrina happened? The Saints won the Super Bowl. Saints won. And then but remember when Harvey happened? The Houston Astros won the World Series. You know what I'm saying? I know those are two different sports, but coincidences, man. Maybe it's all just a coincidence. But
well, with the Harvey storm, all the cans flew in and made it into the outfield, so they had more cans to beat on.
Springer dinger.
Yeah. So, all right. So, wrapping up today. So today we spoke about our best and worst movies, in our opinion. Ray's, mine's. Also, we spoke about the Super Bowl that just happened this past weekend, and the best and worst commercials that we saw, and how stupid some of them really were, and how much money they spent on garbage, in my opinion. So, that's all we got for you guys this week. Remember, follow us on the socials. Go ahead and go to our webpage. It's up. Whenever we upload, it's automatic on our web, www.morespeaks.com, and Spotify, Apple Music, Google, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you follow us, especially all our socials, Instagram. Ray, what's yours?
Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Rayvolutionary, Ray_Volutionary. I just want to go ahead and just thank everybody that has been supporting, that has been showing love, that's been listening and tuning in, answering some of our polls online and stuff like that. We greatly appreciate the love and support, and hopefully we keep dishing out content for y'all. And stay tuned for this generation's re-release of Scarface, starring Ben Affleck as Al Pacino.
I won't watch that. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one.
Welcome to More Speaks.